welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
And this morning I wanted to talk about, could you just bring the board over? We'll use the board just to help us a little bit. Remember Pastor Clive brought us a word last week about having authority to go and make disciples based on Matthew 28, making disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything that was commanded, and that he was with us, with the disciples. And you know, the greatest challenge, I believe, one of the greatest challenges that we have right now is making the making of disciples. That's our big challenge. One of our great challenges is actually to make disciples. And Galatians 5:6, I've used this as a kind of a pivotal scripture this morning. We've got here, on the one hand, we've got faith, and on the other side, we've got love. If you look at it like a pair of scales, in Galatians 5:6, let's just read it together. And it says here, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision counts for anything, but faith working through love." And this faith working through love, these are kind of two twins, really, of the same thing. They all come from God. And faith and love are supposed to work together. And I think it was someone said last week that we're very good, in one of the 8 o'clock, said we're very good at the vertical faith in God, meeting with God. But we need to strengthen the outworking of that. But that vertical bit that goes up to God, our faith in God, our love for God, actually isn't great if we're not effective in loving one another and actually loving a lost world. In fact, we can tell how much we love God by how much we love one another and how much we love our neighbour, how much we love those that are desperate and in need. That actually is the litmus test, if you ever did one of those in science at school. It's the litmus test of where our faith and love really is. So I can say I really love Jesus, but if I don't love my wife, if I don't love my children, if I don't love you, if I don't love the people out in the square or wherever I go, then it's meaningless. And so God is really calling us to have to come back to that place of love again, love with him, faith working through love. And I did, I just put through a few things here, because under the column of faith, Jesus wants to turn us from being servants into being friends. We're going to look at that again in a scripture that we read last week. He wants us to change us from being a student or just a disciple, one who is learning, to become a brother. He wants to turn us from being a trained worker — we're all workers for God — but he wants to turn us from just being a worker to becoming a son. And these terms that Jesus used about being a friend, a brother and son, these are keys for making disciples. Otherwise, we'll just be cold servants. We could become cold servants, hard students, really laboring away with a lot of hard work and labor, but without that faith working through love, it won't produce this. It won't produce this whole thing of we are friends of Jesus, we are brothers of Jesus, we're actually sons of God. And when we know who we are in this way, even though it's true, we are servants, we are his servants, we are his students, we are his workers. But the reality is here, this revelation that I'm a friend of Jesus, he's my best friend. And he's my brother, and I'm a brother to him. Also, I'm a son of God. When we have those working in us, this faith working through love will bring people into the kingdom. And people will meet Jesus also as their friend, as their brother, and becoming children of God, sons of God. So let's just take a little travel for you through a few scriptures, if we may, this morning. Let's go to, we'll start at Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke 9:23, and it says here, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. So Jesus is saying here, he's actually spelling out the cost of following him. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And Jesus talked about the cost and also the reward. So he's talking about the cost to self, but the reward of actually having God, having Christ, having his Spirit come and live in us. And there's a guy in our congregation, over across in Crawley, who gave his life to the Lord many years ago, even came through the Bible college here, but went astray, really, walked away from the Lord for a number of years. And one morning, it was not so long ago, he woke up and God just gave him this scripture and just said to him, Luke chapter 9:23. He didn't know what it was. He had no idea. And he opens his Bible about 3 o'clock in the morning, falls on his knees and begins to repent for the fact that he really hadn't followed Jesus the way that he knew he should have done, been in disobedience. And since then, praise God, his life has really begun to turn around. He's on a journey of becoming the kind of disciple Jesus wants him to be. So this is really important that we're spelling out to people not just the cost, but the reward. When I talk to people, I don't tell them just about the cost, I tell them about the reward as well. So we don't want a watery, fluffy gospel. We want a gospel that is full of truth, but it's full of cost and it's full of reward. And I think we need to spell that out to people. And let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Mark 16. And verse 15. He said to him, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will drink anything poisonous. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Wow. And so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. I love this scripture. Just been living in this the last few weeks. After the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached, proclaimed everywhere, the Lord working with them, partnership, and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. These signs will follow those who believe. And we tend to think, well, that's to do with us going out, which it is, and going to preach the gospel, which it is all about that. And these signs will follow those who believe. But if we just think, well, that's just about us going out and proclaiming the gospel and these signs will follow, then we've missed the point. The point is that we do that, but on the back end of that, the people that we lead to Christ and the people that we lay hands on to heal them or to set them free from demonic oppression, they will become believers themselves. And these signs will follow those who believe in him too. So we're not just talking about us carrying that gospel and leading a few people to Christ. It's talking about this multiplication, exponential, the word that Pastor Clive used last week. It's seeing that multiplies so that when people are touched by the love of God, when people are touched by the power of God, they themselves will carry that love and that power to others. I remember seeing this some years ago. We led a farmer and his wife to the Lord. And what happened was a friend of mine, well, he wasn't a friend at the time. He was a bit of an enemy, really. We'd grown up together at school. And he called himself an atheist for a number of years. Then it changed. He became an agnostic. So he was getting a little bit warmer, you know, someone who didn't know quite what he believed. He believed that someone was there. And I remember sharing the gospel with him one over a period of time, really. And he just wouldn't have any of it. So I just carried on praying for him. And this was over a period of years. And then finally, I remember him coming around to me one evening. He said to me, Paul, he said, I don't know, this is really, it probably means something to you, but he says, I just know I'm going to become a Christian. Now, he wasn't saved yet. He said, I know I'm going to give my life to Jesus. And he said, because I know it's true now. I can't tell you how I know it's true, but I just know it's all true. I said, that's amazing, Mick. That's amazing. He used to lecture in the college at Crawley. And that's amazing. And he said, I said, what's stopping you from doing that today? And he said, because when I do this, I want to make sure that I'm going to give 100% everything to God. My whole life, everything about me, I want it to make sure that it's fully given to it. I thought, what an amazing thing to say. You know, that's, we usually take some time to get people to that point, but God had already shown him what he needed to do. And about 3 to 4 weeks later, I remember him coming around, and you could see he was different. He said, I've done it, I've given my life to Christ. I want to shout it from the rooftops all over this village and all over Crawley. And his life was dramatically changed. And as a result of this, his mum, this farmer's wife, his mum gave her life to the Lord quite rapidly after she saw such a change in her son. And then the dad, the farmer guy, his father, took a little bit longer. He was a little bit more hard work. And we prayed for him. I shared the gospel with him, walked across his field a few times with him. And we sat down and shared with him just about the goodness of God. And I remember the day that he gave his life to Christ. It was a very powerful day. And the love that had been shared during those weeks and months, actually, before he gave his life to Jesus, was, if you like, the love of God was imparted to him. And he was one of the most loving. He's with the Lord now. But I remember when they used to come around our house, we open up our house for new believers, and we started having them into our house. And when they came into our home, the first thing we did, we always would greet them with a great big hug and just tell them how wonderful Jesus was. And what I discovered after we'd been doing this about 3 or 4 weeks, that these new people coming to our house were the most loving bunch of people I've ever met, because they were just loving each other. They literally greeted, I mean, it wasn't just a hug, but they were really loving each other and beginning to share their lives together. And this dear man, his name was Reg, and Reg, if he spoke the name of Jesus, his eyes would water up. See, he got saved when he was late 60s, early 70s. So he'd lived a life really without God, and quite hard, really, quite a hard man. But when he surrendered to Jesus, just the moment, the mention of his name, if he prayed, I guarantee you, he wouldn't be able to finish the prayer without crying. He was so moved by God. And we had the privilege of just working with him in the church for about 5, 6, 7 years. And then he passed away. He went to be with the Lord. But the reason I share that is because what we have and what we carry is imparted, obviously, from the Lord into people's lives. So if we impart healing from the Lord and someone gets healed, they will carry that healing power. They'll have a belief and a faith that they can heal the sick. And so this is how we make this is part of the way that we make disciples. It's by carrying that gospel message and see it imparted. So Jesus says here, these signs will follow those who believe. So it isn't just for us, it's those that we lead to the Lord, that they in turn will begin to preach the gospel, share the gospel, heal the sick, set captives free. And what they come into is how they'll live. Do you agree? If they come into a hot temperature, that's how they're going to live. That's why our prayer together in Kingdom Faith is that God bring people into the fire of God, bring them into that fervor and that zeal that we have for Jesus. Because if they come into that fervor and that zeal as a church, as a whole church, they're going to be impacted and they're going to carry that out wherever they go. And so that's why God's turning the heat up actually with all of us, because he wants some hot people around being saved and sharing that gospel. And then Matthew 28, which we looked at last week, I just want to go back there just for a minute. Matthew 28. So Jesus in Mark says, go and preach the gospel. And then the flip side of that, part of the whole message here, is in Matthew 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe to do all things I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus' commission here is that we're to go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. And I think that one of the challenges that God has given to us is not just to have faith in what we do, but faith working through love. The two things going together, faith working through love, will bring people through to Christ. And it isn't just a case of taking them through a course. The courses are great. We've got some very good courses around, and we're using them. But it has to be something more than that. I think what God wants to do is bring the whole of the church into a new place where every member begins to see themselves as a disciple maker, where every member, starting from those in leadership and those in ministry, working right the way through the church, that everybody sees, I'm here to go make a disciple. And when we begin to carry that as a culture, that this is who we are disciple makers, that we'll begin to see lives change. How they change? Well, the way that Jesus did it. Basically, Jesus, we know this, but I think knowing it isn't enough any longer. What we've got to do is we have to do it now. We have to do this. Jesus actually shared his life out with his disciples. He basically became vulnerable and became a servant to those that he was leading through to know him and those who became his disciples. And Jesus is challenging us, no matter how busy in quotes we are, that we can't short circuit this one. This is the most important thing is even in terms of becoming a multi-site church where we're planting congregations, if we don't get this whole thing of making disciples into our spirits, our hearts, we're going to end up struggling to get there, because the whole multi-site church, planting out new congregations, is all about then making disciples to get them into the church. That's what it's all about. And so God is really encouraging us. He's actually commissioning us in a fresh, I believe, in a new way, by doing something in our hearts. That's the best way I can say it, because we know plenty of up here in our heads. We know what we need to do. Perhaps we're not quite so sure how to do some of it, but God has to do something in our hearts where we begin to see this is the most important thing. I'll just give you an example. Is on Saturday, was for me another eye-opener, really, in terms of our own church congregation in Crawley, because we had said, when we go out on Saturday, and I mean, some people had already been during the course of the morning, early into the afternoon, and I think probably had got quite frozen, so maybe that's why some of them had gone, but what we said was the most important thing is that we're talking to people about Jesus. Whatever happens from the bandstand, where the music and there's some preaching happening as well, and some things happen from the bandstand that drew people, but the most important thing was for us to go and talk to people, and to do it in pairs, get people to link up with those that are used to doing it. I noticed that there were groups of people, Christians, spending a lot of time talking together, talking to one another, but not actually doing what we'd instruct them to, which is you need to go out. So part of my job on Saturday was encouraging people, you need to keep going to talk to people. Go with somebody. Go and talk to people. Go and take balloons to children and families. Find a way in which you can talk to people and then talk to them about why we're here and what Easter's all about. And we gave them some tools to do that with. And I noticed that there, I came away thinking, okay, God, so there's a further work that you need to do in me then, and you need to do in us as a church body to make us far more effective in how we're talking to people, how we're relating to people, how we're loving people. And I believe this is something that as God's people here, we need to learn how to relate to people just how Jesus did. Really, Jesus was the greatest relator to people. He knew how to relate to people. He knew how to turn a situation around. He knew how to get into conversation with people and turn it around for the kingdom. And the Lord is challenging us with this, that he wants us to go and make disciples. But making a disciple really is about making a relationship. And it always starts by having a conversation with someone when we talk about personal witness. And let's go to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, I believe we looked at this last week as well, but it carries an important principle. Second Timothy 2 and verse 1 says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. What Paul is talking about here is talking about being a disciple. He's actually talking about receiving strength and grace from God to be able to do this. And obviously Paul was encouraging Timothy, who was a son in the faith. He'd actually disciple Timothy. Why? How had he done that? He'd done it by actually spending time with him, by building relationship with him, not just in a class situation, but by, they must have ate together, they must have laughed together, they must have sat down together, they traveled together, they did a load of stuff together that actually built them together in relationship. And so becoming a disciple is about faith working through love in a relationship. And in this case, relating to people that come to know the Lord and then building them up in their faith. It says here that in verse 2, "The things you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who'll be able to teach others also." So Pastor Clive described this last week as it's something that multiplies then. So it goes from Paul to Timothy, from Timothy then to other men, and from those men, they would teach then other men. And that principle of discipleship, the exponential growth of discipleship, is how God wants to work it right through the church. We begin to carry a vision from the leadership right the way through the church of seeing every person in the church a disciple maker, seeing them effectively beginning to make disciples and giving them the tools and equipping them to do that. It's wonderful. Let's turn, shall we, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and I'm going to read this out of the truth. It's interesting because on our outreach on Saturday, and this is why I share this, is that there was a lady there. I didn't speak to her. Someone else spoke to her. She used to go to church as a little girl, not been to church for years, lives in a village quite near here, quite near Crawley. And her aunt, I think, came down for the weekend and has prayed for her for years. She loves the Lord. She's filled with the Spirit, this lady. Prayed for her for years and decided that she'd come down over Easter to try and find a church to connect to. So it just so happened that this lady happened to walk into the square when all this music was going, and someone spoke to her and encouraged her to come along to Oriel School, where we meet on a Sunday. So she turns up on Sunday, and I spoke to her right at the end. She came up and spoke to me, tears in her eyes, and she said, "Oh, I'm sorry, apologising for crying." And she said, "I've been like this ever since I walked in here this morning." I said, that's great. There's nothing to be ashamed of about that. She said, "It's just the love. It's just the amazing love that's here." And she said, I've actually been crying ever since the moment we started, right the way through the meeting. And so we prayed with her, and just the whole thing. She explained, "I've not been to church since I was a little girl. Da, da, da. I've always believed in God." And you could tell there's some things she needs to know about Jesus. But the great thing was God had bought her. And so with her now, we've got the work this week of connecting her, which we're beginning to do, with someone else who can begin then to take her under her wing and begin to love her, relate to her, and to disciple her. But it will only be done through relationship. It can't be done just as a come to my house once a week and I'll give you a Bible study. It's got to be done through relationship and through studying the Word and et cetera. There's something God wants to, I think they believe there's something God wants to break open into in our hearts and release the love of God. The only reason we don't do this is because there's a lack of love in our hearts, in my heart. There's a lack of love. There needs to be a greater flow of His love that will enable us to go further and to really put ourselves out for unsaved people and for newly saved people too. So John's Gospel 14, verse 17 says this. Quickly go there. It says here, "The world cannot receive him because those who belong to the world neither see the way he works nor do they know him. But you know him, for this Spirit of truth lives with you and soon will be in you. I will not leave you alone. I will come to you. Soon the world will not be able to see me any longer, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live filled with my life. Then you will know for sure that I am at one with the Father, you are at one with me, and I am living in you. Who really loves me? The one who not only has my commands, but obeys them. Anyone who genuinely loves me like that will be loved by my Father. I will also love him and will continue to reveal myself to him. Jesus here is talking to us about the Spirit, that we can't do any of this, faith working through love. We can't do any of this without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the love of God. He is the love of God. He carries the love of God. And he's poured out, in Romans it says, he's poured out his love into our hearts. God's poured his love out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And here Jesus, obviously, is talking about the Holy Spirit before he'd actually been poured out on the day of Pentecost. We have the advantage of actually having received the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying here, talking about the Spirit of truth living in us, and that he'd never leave us, and that he wants us to be filled with his life. And if we're filled with his life, we're going to be filled with his love. And we're going to want to obey what he says to us. And so through that love that the Holy Spirit releases upon us, we are enabled actually to love people with his love. So it's not a case of trying to love people or trying to like people. It's a case of letting God's love well up on the inside of us, that we begin to have mercy on people. You know, we showed the Passion of the Christ film on Sunday afternoon in Broadfield. And a couple came along who are in serious trouble at the moment. And but Jesus is a friend to them. And we recognised with the lady that came, she's very open, actually. It won't take much for her to get saved. She believes about the Lord. She just doesn't know him yet. But her boyfriend, who's run away from Liverpool, it seems a lot of people run away from Liverpool, running away from trouble, when we spoke to him, it was like speaking to a wall. And that wall was completely, he was completely blind to who Jesus was. He even watched the whole of the Passion of the Christ, completely blind to who he is. And so we realized that for this man, we're going to have to, the way we're going to help him is going to be different how we help her, because he needs to first of all be convinced about the truth. And a friend of mine was talking to me yesterday about it and saying, you know, this is what we've got. We've got to do this, we've got to do that. And I said, no, the most important thing, what we've got to do with this man is we've got to love him. The one thing he doesn't have is the love of God. We've got to demonstrate that love to him. And out of loving him, actually personally loving him, talking to him, relating to him, then he'll become open to receive the gospel. But if we bombard him with the gospel without that love, and just hit, if everyone has a go at it, which is sometimes what we do, we'll miss the point and he'll shut down and walk away. And God just said to me yesterday, the one thing he needs to be bombarded with love. He doesn't need to be bombarded with words. He'll get those later. But we need to bombard him with love, because he's lost, he's actually been blinded by sin and all the stuff he's been involved with. And so this is all part of thinking in a discipleship way, that we need to think, how are we going to help this person? How are we going to love this person? How are we going to get into their life? And God will enable us through the Holy Spirit to love people like him, so we make him into true disciples. And then John's Gospel, chapter 15. This really works. We've seen some amazing things, even in this last 6 months. I look at people when they come in, on a Sunday, I think that's an amazing work, God, you've done in that person's life. When I look at them, I see, like, there's a lady that comes into our gathering, and I remember seeing her a year ago. In fact, she came 3 years ago, a mess, absolute mess. She was on all kinds of tablets. She was chronic depression. It was terrible. It was really bad. But we shared the gospel with her, and some of the women came around and prayed with her, and she came for a while, and then she drifted away. But the great thing is they kept in touch. They prayed for her and kept in touch with her. And then here we are, 3 years later, she's now, all of her tablets, apart from one, I think, all of her tablets, some of them she's come completely off her medication now. She's still on some with the doctor, and that's fine. And we've encouraged her just to stay with the program. But the most important thing is that the love of God has been demonstrated to her through other women, particularly one lady that has discipled her and has spent meeting with every week. And not just doing Bible studies, but just loving her, talking to her, being a friend to her, on the end of the phone and so on. And as this has developed, and the prayer that's gone in for her, she's been set free. And I saw her again yesterday. I think it's amazing, God, what you've done, this transformation work. You've made this lady into disciples. She's going to be a great disciple maker. She's in a good place now where she's already beginning to share the gospel in a very powerful way with others. So it's beginning to happen. There's another lady who recently got saved, and maybe it's just I don't know all the background of some of these people, some of the problems they've got in their lives, but I just know that God's setting this lady free. And humanly speaking, it's so desperate, but she's trusting God about her family, about her children, and all of that. God's working. Why? Because some of these women are literally pouring their lives out into other people, other ladies' lives. They're laying their life down by relating to them with the love of God and sharing the scripture with them and all the rest of the stuff that we're supposed to do. But so these new ladies and some of these new guys coming through, they'll become great disciple makers themselves. Why? Because they've come into this atmosphere of love, into this time of God's love. And then John 15, verse 9. Jesus said, I've loved you in exactly the same way that my Father loves me. So continue to live in my love. You will remain in my love if you obey what I've commanded you. In the same way that I've remained in my Father's love, by obeying what he commanded me. I've told you this because I want you to have within you the same joy that is in me. I want you to be absolutely full of my joy. Discipleship is a joyful thing. We want disciples filled with God's love, don't we? And filled with his joy. And Jesus is saying here, listen, guys, I've loved you in the same way the Father's loved me. That joy you've seen in me, that belongs to you. And this love and this joy is a mark of a disciple of Jesus. And we want that to be contagious. We want people to be contagiously filled with the love and the joy of Christ, don't we? We want them to catch it. Nathan and I visited a lady on really an instruction the Spirit gave me the other week. We were to go and see this lady that we'd heard about and never met her before, knocked on her door. Cut a very long story short, she invited us in for a cup of tea, didn't she? And to find out that her son had just committed suicide just a couple of months ago. So she's telling this story over a cup of tea in her kitchen. And I'm thinking, God, how does this lady handle this without you? And so we just began to share the love of Jesus with her. We didn't bombard her. We just loved her, really, didn't we? And prayed for her. And we're going to go back. We always find a way of going back. So we're going to go back to clear her garden, actually. We're going to clear some stuff out of her garden. But the real reason is because we want to love her some more. We want to bring her into the knowledge of Jesus. And so she's another person, another great need, but one that the Lord loves. And I just felt this amazing love for her. And God wants to change our hearts, that we love people and we bring them through and then find the right people then to disciple them, because we can't disciple them all. Especially if we're in leadership, we can't disciple them, but we need to find the right people to disciple the right people, link them up in the right way. And then we're just going to finish on this, Romans chapter 16. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Romans 16. Because the Apostle Paul, I think, is one of the greatest examples of discipleship for the New Testament. And he travelled around with other men and women who were with him. And in his discipleship, it was about relationship. And it really comes out in Romans 16. Because Romans 16, at the end of this letter to the Christians in Rome, he writes, let's just read a few verses here. Verse 1, Phoebe is about to visit you, he says. I want you to receive her in a way that will bless the Lord. She is our sister in faith and a servant of the church in century. So I'm sure you will treat her in a worthy manner as befits the saints of God, and that you will help her in a way necessary. She is herself a wonderful servant and has helped many others, including me. The way Paul talks about her, it sounds like she's a great friend. Sounds like he's really invested time with her. And there was a relationship there, faith working through love. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, verse 3. They've been fellow workers with me in Christ Jesus. They even risked their lives for me. All the churches among the nations are thankful to God for them, as I am myself. And greet all those who belong to the church that meets in their home. Again, you get the great sense of real affection and love here, the love of God. There was a connection through a relationship with these guys. I send my love to my dear friend Epaphroditus. He was the first person I led to Christ in the province of Asia. Wow. And greet Mary, for she has given herself tirelessly for your sakes. So he's encouraging the church to look after these people, and he's basically sending his love and greetings to people that he's been involved with in not just teaching the word, but actually in relationship with them, in discipling them. Give my kindest regards to my relatives, Andronicus and Junius. We were in prison together, and they have proved to be outstanding apostles. In fact, they were believers in Christ before I was myself. I love Ampliatus with the Lord's love. Isn't that amazing? It's a great greeting. I love Ampliatus with the Lord's love. Give him my greetings along with Urbanus, another fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachius. Great names, aren't they? Verse 10, Apelles has been through times of testing, but has surely proved himself to be approved in Christ. So greet him along with all those who are part of Aristobulus' household. And greet another relative of mine, Herodian. And greet all those in the household of Narcissus who belong to the Lord. Also, I want you to remember me to Tryphena and Tryphosa. These two women work so hard in the Lord's purposes, and also another hard-working woman, Persis. Give my love to Rufus, clearly one chosen by the Lord, and to his mother, who's also been like a mother to me. And also greet, and he goes on this long list of names, which I'm not going to try and read out, and all the brothers that belong to that group of believers. He sends these greetings and the love. Why do I bring this out? Because God's talking to us about faith working through love in us as a people, and it's our motto scripture in Kingdom Faith. But I think God's doing a bit of a, right, this is your scripture in Kingdom Faith, and it's not that there isn't faith, and it's not that there isn't love, but God's just saying this is a time to release it. This is a real time to release this faith and love and have such faith and confidence in God that we're going to see the greatest season of discipleship that we've ever seen and known. And I think God wants to change the way we think about making disciples. I believe there's certainly a transition going on in my own mind and heart about this. And God wants us to make these disciples. And what Paul wrote there in the book of Romans was basically he was saying, these guys are my friends. I've poured my life out for some of them. They've served me. They've loved me. They've poured their life out for me. This has been the connection. And some of them I've discipled. I actually brought them through to the Lord myself and cared for them and fed them the word. And we ate together and we laughed together and we cried together. And it was that kind of relationship that he had. And God's calling us to live like that. That's how Jesus did it. And there aren't any shortcuts. And we've got to begin to say, Lord, I surrender then to your plan for me to be a disciple maker. Not just working in an office or doing this. This is my ministry in Kingdom Faith. But we all have a ministry and it's called Go and Make Disciples. Go and share the gospel. All of us do. That's our first ministry. And if other ministries have come over on top of that, then we need to get our order back right again and say, no, Father, thank you. The first thing is I'm called to be a witness. I'm called to go with the gospel. I'm called to go and make a disciple. That's my first call. That's my first call as far as the kingdom is concerned. And everything else I do should come after that. Now, we may give more time because we're employed to do certain things or we have a certain part of ministry in Kingdom Faith. But our first order, our first call in prayer and everything is go and share the gospel, go and make disciples. And everything else will be added to you as you do it. God will enable us to do this. So let's all stand, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Just begin to thank God this morning that he's called you, he's called me, he's called us in Kingdom Faith, he's called those that love him and know him. He's called each one of us to go with the gospel. He's called us to be his witnesses. Now, Father, we thank you today, Lord, as we lift our hearts and hands and open ourselves up to you again this morning. Father, I pray today, Lord, that you continue to change the way that I think about making a disciple. Lord, I pray you change even my heart attitude, Lord, about this. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would work something in my heart, Lord, and work in our hearts today, Lord, that you cause us to become true disciple makers, that we go and make disciples. Lord, you keep speaking this word to us, so it's clearly your word to us at this hour. Father, we pray that we'll go and make Jesus known and we'll go and make disciples. And Father, we just pray for every member of Kingdom Faith Church, Lord, that as we teach them the word, as we love them, as we build relationship with people right the way through Kingdom Faith, Lord, We pray for strong disciples, Lord. We pray that we see people coming into your kingdom, Lord, coming into the fire, as it were, of your love, coming into times of the movings of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that what they come into, they'll live in, Lord, that fullness of your fire and love, Lord, that what they come into, they'll live in that, they'll expect nothing less than that, Lord. We pray for that supernatural move of you amongst us, Lord, that this will be a time of a great time of your love being outpoured in us in Kingdom Faith Church, Lord, that as we disciple people in your love, as we relate to them, Lord, out of your love, as we teach them your word, out of your love, Lord, we pray, Lord, that they in turn will begin to love on others and bring others into your kingdom through that love. Father, we pray that it'll be the talk of the nation, Lord, the love, the love, the love, the love of God, the love of God that's been demonstrated, Lord, through your people. And we pray this, Father, this morning for those listening to this message, Lord, that for each one of us that we'll go out, Lord, share the gospel and begin to become a true disciple maker. And we ask you help us, Holy Spirit, to do this, to partner with you. We can't do this in our own strength or our own effort. We can do it with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you've given us, your word says you've given us everything we need for life and godliness. You've given us your power, you've given us your spirit, you've given us your faith, you've given us your love. Father, help us to obey you and to follow that leading and start releasing it, Lord, in this time. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.